and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Judges number 14 and verse 4.
But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
Now, two things here you must underline. The fact that and his father and his mother knew not, and that it was of the Lord, and the Lord sought an occasion. That word occasion is something you got to underline, because I want to work a little bit on that. And then the other word, dominion over Israel, that word dominion. Dominion gives you the audacity and the authority to dominate and to have people under subjection to your demands or wishes. It's a very powerful word. Israel was under the dominion, or had come under the domination of the Philistines. Now, understand this, that situation of Israel coming under the domination of the Philistines was a result of an occasion that took place that gave the Philistines an advantage. God orchestrated an occasion to break the dominant powers and to break the dominion of the Philistines of Israel. And the way he went about it was to send an angel to announce the birth of this young man by the name of Samson. And an angel came from eternity into time and announced the birth of a man, and his name will be called Samson. And he will be a prophetic son and shall begin or initiate the deliverance of Israel from the dominion of the Philistines. And said the angel of the Lord that he will be a Nazarite from the womb. And a Nazarite is one under a vow. And he said, and razor must never touch his head and must not take any strong drink. Said to the mother also that even you that will carry this particular child or seed, because it's a heavy duty cargo you'll be carrying, you can drink also. It is a requirement. And so he was born, Samson was born, with such strength, such anointing of God, and such capabilities that gave him such an audacity to be able to kill a lion with his bare hand. And he was so fierce that there was nothing that could intimidate him. He was so anointed and so powerful that the enemies of Israel feared him and dread at the mention of his name, that this guy is trouble and we can continue to dominate Israel with Samson on the scene. But Samson had a problem, and God had to work through his problem to fulfill the assignment. And one of the problems he had was the fact that he had passion and weakness for strange women. Strange women. He encountered three women in his life. The first one he married was wrong, and his friend ended up with his wife anyway. Second woman was a prostitute. The third woman was a hired assassin by the name of Delilah. And the dude knew that this woman is not good for me. And yet, he refused to break away from her spell. And the Bible said that she daily persuaded him to the point where she vexed his soul to death, and yet he refused to break away. The Bible said she revealed the secret of his strength. And she called the Lord of the Philistines and said, I have him now. Get ready to come for him. And they came for him. And they put irons in fire till the iron became red like the fire itself. And they put the iron into his eyes and remove his eyes. But the Bible said that God was working through it, seeking an occasion to have an advantage over the Philistines. And even in the midst of that difficult time, as vulnerable and weak and disadvantaged as he was, his connections and his line with heaven was still potent. Then he said, oh Lord God, let me avenge my enemies one more time. And the Bible said, even in his death, he destroyed more enemies and accomplished more for God put together than all of his life. And that was the occasion that God sought to break the dominion of the Philistines over the children of Israel. Exodus, the second chapter, the fifth to the tenth verse. Exodus chapter 2, verse 5 to 10.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river.
Underline, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, not in the house and not in the palace. You see, even coming by the river to wash herself was part of the orchestration for a divine occasion.
And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse?
Underline his sister. That was Miriam. You know Miriam, Moses' sister? That was the one here. Miriam, the sister of Moses, said to the handmaiden of Pharaoh's daughter, let me go get my mother. Hear this. Watch this.
Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, as she said, because I drew him out of the water.
And the Bible said that Pharaoh's daughter was in the palace, and the Holy Ghost went to her and said, you got to go have a bath. Got to leave the palace and go to the Nile River. I have a plan for you. I want to use you to protect my deliverer for my own self. And when she went to take a shower right by the Nile River or to wash, she saw the basket. And in that basket was Moses, the deliverer, that will bring down the nation and the kingdom and break the dominion of Egypt over Israel. They brought the child and they cried, the Bible said, the child cried and she had compassion. And the sister of the child said, I can go help, I can get you help from among the Hebrews. Because she recognized that it was one of the seed of the Hebrews, and she was the daughter of Pharaoh who made the law to kill them. And she said, go get me help. And the mother of Moses was brought on the scene, and she was paid to breastfeed her own child. Paid by the one that wanted to kill the child. And she was given special exemption from the law, and she was given security and protection to protect the child, because it was against the law for Moses to leave. Some of you don't even know why you are still alive. There was a law that should have killed you long time ago, but God gave you exemption from the law of sin and death and spared your life, somebody open your mouth and thank God for exemption from death. Hallelujah. Now, the 14th chapter, don't read it, just let me talk to you because of time. The 14th chapter of Exodus also reveals how the children of Israel had left Egypt by great deliverance. After that, God had plagued all the 10 gods of the land of Egypt and smote the firstborn of Egypt, which represented and which stood as the protection of the family. God removed the protection of every family in Egypt, stripped them of their wealth, and within 24 hours gave them the reward of 430 years of labor they were denied of. And that is what I call restitution and not restoration. Because restoration is giving me back what you took from me. But restitution is paying me back with interest. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the Bible said that Pharaoh was minding his own business after Israel had left Egypt to go to the promised land. And God vexed and provoked Pharaoh to take the finest, most skillful, best of the armed forces, the police services, security service, the SEALs of Egypt, the best among them, to break the backbone of Egypt, break the economy. He had broken their economic back strength and say, I want to finish your military and your police and security services. And he took the best of the riders of Egypt, chariots and horse riders, of the best among them, and they pursued Israel to the Red Sea. When they got to the Red Sea, the children panicked. And Moses stood there crying out and said, God, we need a way out. We can't find our way out. We are trapped. Behind us comes the Pharaoh of Egypt and his chariots and horses. And 3,000 footmen to the right and left is a desert. And before us is the Red Sea. There is no way out. And I can see God laughing and say, you don't know who your God is. I can do anything, anytime, anywhere, because I am that I am. Say yes. And God said to Moses, what do you have in your hands? And he said, it's a rod. And God said, stretch the rod over the waters and see my wonders. And when Moses stretched the rod over the waters, suddenly the waters parted on both sides. And God said, walk through the dry land with the children of Israel. And the Bible said that they went after the children of Israel and Moses. And God put an angel between them, a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And the Bible said, and the angels begin to remove the wheel of the chariots. The ties, the wheel. The angels removed the wheel and slowed them down and restricted the movement of the horses to delay them in pursuit of the children of Israel, to give the children of Israel time and to accelerate their movement and escape. And when the children of Israel had come to the other side, then God said, Moses, the same rod that parted the waters, strike that rod, bring it together, drown them. My God, my God, my God, my God. Tell somebody, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with my God, because my God is dangerous. Come on, tell some, my God is dangerous. Shout, yeah. Now, we all know about the story of Esther the queen. The fact that she was an orphan and she was brought from one of the provinces of the 124 provinces under King Ahasuerus, when Vashti misbehaved and had to be removed by the wise men of the king because she misbehaved against the king and she wasn't a good example. And so the wise men said, King, if you don't deal with this woman, all the women of the kingdom will begin to misbehave. So you got to deal with her. And that comes to a strong argument here as we go ahead, you'll see. Not every woman can marry a king. Not every woman can marry greatness. So Esther became the queen. And his uncle Mordecai, who sat at the king's gate. You see, not everybody can sit at the gate of a country. The Bible said that the husband of a virtuous woman sits at the gates. So the husband of a foolish woman sits far from the gates. Not every man sits at the gates. There are a lot of men in this country, but it's not everybody that sits at the gates. And he had a plot to assassinate the king. And he revealed the secret to save the life of the king. But after he did that, he was not rewarded nor promoted. Another who came from nowhere by the name of Haman the Agagite was promoted and became prime minister. Was set over all the princes of the land and became so very powerful in the country. He was untouchable. And he went to the gates of the city and everybody bowed, worshiping him. And Mordecai said, you're dealing with the wrong person here. I'm a Jew. And I don't bow my knee to any other god and deity but the living God. And Haman was so angered and angry. And for 1 year, day after day, and month after month, the Bible said he sought the oracles and went to the juju men of that country, went to the astrologers, to psychics, and said, I want an occasion against Mordecai and his people. I want the annihilation of the entire Jewish race, beginning from Mordecai, because he refused to respect and to honor and to bow to me. I have the ear of the king, but I'm told that this Mordecai is a spiritual person, so I'm not going to deal with this situation from a natural perspective. I want to carry it from a spiritual, political, and a natural, and an economic perspective. So Haman, after 1 year of consulting against the children of Israel, he was given a day by a demonic prediction. This was the prediction of the oracles of darkness, that December 13th, you will have an advantage on that day where you stand before the king. Whatever you tell the king on that day against Mordecai and his people, it will become a law. And on the 13th of December, as you read the scriptures, Haman came before Ahasuerus and requested for the life of Mordecai and his people. And the king said, whatever you want, you can have it. And she also, in exchange of that law, gave the king 10,000 talents. And in today's market price, 10,000 talents in those days, converted to dollar today, is $200 million to carry out mischief and wickedness against other people. Mordecai hadn't been rewarded for the good he had done to save the life of the king. And the king couldn't sleep. And being spiritual as he was, even though he wasn't a believer of God, he understood the workings of the spiritual world. That he couldn't sleep because he was indebted to somebody. And he said, bring me the books of remembrance. Let me see if I owe anybody gratitude and I haven't paid. And went to the book of remembrance and said, let me see if I owe anybody gratitude. And he realized that he was owing Mordecai gratitude for saving his life from an assassinating plot. Just when he was reading it, his servants came and announced that, oh king, live forever. In your courts is your prime minister, Haman the Agagite. He said, let him come in. And when Haman came in, the king said, Haman, it's good you have come. I've been thinking about somebody I owe gratitude that I must honor. Tell me what must be done for the man the king wishes to honor. Hey. And Haman thought that it was about him and the honor was about him. So he prescribed and told the king the kind of honor that must be given to the man the king wishes to honor. And when he had finished, he had the most shock of his life. The king said, Everything you have said must be done for the man the king wishes to honor. Do it. For Mordecai, your number one enemy. Hear me. After that, the queen, when he went before King Ahasuerus, because by law, even though she was a queen, she wasn't allowed to come before the king and to enter the courts of the king, except that the king has invited or called for her. So Esther had the opportunity to come before the king the first time. And the king stretched up his royal scepter and said, Queen Esther, what has brought you here, having invited you or called for you? She said, King, live long. I'm just trying to reach out to my husband. I miss you. I haven't seen you for a long time. And I just want to check on you. I have no agenda. Just want to say I miss you and I love you. And if ever you have time in your schedule, just pass by my palace. I want to cook something for you. And the king said, I'll come. And she said, but Esther, to the half of my kingdom, is there any request? She said, no. But the king went to eat. And after eating, the king said, Esther, this is an indescribable, delicious meal. So she said, King, I want you to come another time. And this time, I want you to attend the banquet of wine. Everybody say, banquet of wine, banquet of wine. And he said, this banquet of wine, I don't want you to come alone. I want you to come with your prime minister, Haman, the Agagite. And the Bible said, and the queen came with Haman. The king came with Haman. Now, if you look at the scripture, look at chapter 7. Go to verse 2.
And the king said again unto Esther on the second day.
To Esther
on the second day. At the banquet of wine.
At the banquet of wine.
What is thy petition, Queen Esther?
Listen on.
And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Uh-huh. And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom.
And the Bible says, damn. Everybody say, damn. Aha. See, it's a bullet point. That word, damn, is a window of opportunity. That was what she was waiting for. Then she shot the missile. Go ahead.
Then Esther the queen answered and said, mm-hmm. If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, mm-hmm. And if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, mm-hmm. And my people at my request.
Uh-huh. You see the way she was threatening? You see the way she was threatening? Listen. This lady was skillful.
She said, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's demand. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Queen Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that dost presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said,
who is this that wants to kill what gives the king's pleasure?
And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereupon Esther was.
I'm through with my message. Anytime you are angry, take a walk. Before you open your mouth, take a walk. And never fight a woman or slap or beat a woman. Don't do it. It doesn't matter how painful her words are. Don't touch her. Walk. And he went to the garden. Whilst in the garden, God was working for an occasion against Haman to finish him. So the king hung the garden a little bit and he decided to come back into the sitting room. When he came, Haman saw that his life was on the line. And the Bible said the queen was lying in the sofa. Now, the Bible didn't tell us what she was wearing or the condition or state in which she was lying. Now, Haman realized that his life was on the line. So he decided to kneel down to beg the king for his life. When he was kneeling, it looks like he was attempting to rape the queen. And that was the picture God painted to the king. And the king said, hey, after all that I've done for you, you want to touch what gives me pleasure? You are dead. Let me tell you something. Even in pleading for your life, when you are dealing with greatness, you must tread very careful. Because if you don't tread careful, even in pleading for your life, you can die in the process. Stand on your feet. I'm through for today.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop, located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today. And may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.